A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your internet feels slow. Pages stall halfway through loading. Your SSH session connects fine, but the moment you run ls-law, it freezes like a deer in headlights. And somewhere, some guy on Reddit told you to set your MTU to 1492. So you did. And maybe it helped. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you just believed it did because you wanted to be done thinking about it.
Wait, I have definitely set 1492 before. Someone on a forum said fiber MTU 1492, and I just didn't ask questions.
That's the thing. Thousands of people are running 1492 on fiber connections that should be running 1500, because the forum advice hasn't caught up to the technology.
The number everyone throws around for fiber might be wrong for actual fiber.
Here's what's happening. FTTH is rolling out globally, replacing old DSL and VDSL connections that used PPPoA authentication. PPPoA adds 8 bytes of overhead. That's where 1492 comes from. But a lot of modern fiber deployments don't use PPPoE at all. They use DHCP, plain IPoE. 1500 is correct. If you blindly set 1492, you're leaving performance on the table for no reason.
The real question isn't, should I set 1492 or 1500? It's, how do I figure out which one my actual connection needs?
And that's what we're going to walk through today, specifically for someone running OpenSense on an Israeli fiber connection, but the method applies anywhere. We'll cover what MTU actually means, where 1492 came from, how to test your own link empirically, and what settings like MSS clamping actually do.
Daniel sent us this one. He's in Israel, on FTTH, running OpenSense, and he wants the diagnostic method, not the cargo cult answer.
This is one of those topics where the cargo cult is everywhere. 1492 has become a magic incantation. People recite without knowing what it means or whether it applies to them.
I was literally one of those people. I set 1492 because the internet told me to. Now I'm wondering if I've been wrong for years.
You probably have been. So let's start with the basics. MTU stands for Maximum Transmission Unit. It's the largest single IP packet, measured in bytes, that can traverse a network link without being chopped into smaller pieces. Fragmentation. Think of it as the height clearance on a bridge. If your truck is under the bar, you sail through. If it's over, you unload half the cargo, send it in 2 trips, and reassemble at the other end.
The bar is set at 1500 by default.
The Ethernet payload default of 1500 bytes comes from the DIX standard, DEC, Intel, Xerox, published in 1980. They were balancing throughput against error recovery. Smaller packets meant more overhead, but faster retransmission if something got corrupted. 1500 was the sweet spot for the hardware of the era, and it stuck. Every Ethernet frame can carry up to 1500 bytes of IP payload. That's been the norm for over 40 years.
If 1500 is the universal default, where does 1492 come from?
Point-to-point protocol over Ethernet. It's an authentication and encapsulation layer ISPs used heavily during the DSL era. When you wrap an IP packet inside a PPPPoE session, you add exactly 8 bytes of overhead, 2 bytes for the PPP protocol ID, 6 bytes for the PPPPoE session header, defined in RFC 2516. Your 1500-byte packet now needs 1508 bytes, but Ethernet still only gives you 1500.
The packet gets squeezed. 1500 minus 8 equals 1492.
For decades, that was the right answer for most home connections. The forum advice was good, it just hasn't aged well.
Fiber changed the game.
Fiber changed the authentication model. Many modern FTTH deployments use DHCP plain, IPoE. No PPP layer, no 8-byte header. The packet that leaves your router is the packet that hits the ISP's edge. 1500 bytes fits perfectly. If you set 1492 on a DHCP fiber link, you're voluntarily shrinking every packet by 8 bytes, adding roughly 0.5% of unnecessary overhead to everything you do online.
0.5% doesn't sound catastrophic.
It's not catastrophic, but it's pure waste. In edge cases, large file transfers, high-throughput VPNs, it adds up. More importantly, it means you configured your router based on a cargo cult instead of what's actually on the wire.
How do I know which one I've got? I'm staring at my OPN Sense dashboard.
Interfaces, then WAN. If it says PPPoE, 1492 is correct. If it says DAH, CP, you're on IPOE, and 1500 is correct. That's the first check.
The Israeli fiber providers, Bezeq, HOT, Cellcom, partner, where do they land?
On older XDSL and VDSL, PPPoE was standard. On modern fiber, many deployments have moved to DHCP, but ISP behavior varies by region, by neighborhood, sometimes by which generation of ONT is installed. I've seen two apartments in the same building get different authentication methods because one was provisioned earlier. You cannot assume.
Even in Israel, in 2026, you might still be on PPPoE depending on your specific install.
Partner fiber still has legacy PPPoE configs on some lines. The only way to know is to check your own WAN interface type in OPN Sense. If PPPoE use 1492, if DAH-CP start with 1500, then verify empirically, which we'll get to.
If 1500 is the standard and fiber mostly uses DAH-CP, why does every forum still scream 1492?
Because internet advice has a half-life and this one's expired. The people writing those posts learned networking during the DSL era. They internalized 1492 as the safe number and never updated their mental model. Forums reward repetition. The same answer gets copied for 15 years until it becomes received wisdom, disconnected from the original reason.
The telephone game, but for router configuration.
The stakes are low enough that nobody notices they're wrong. Setting 1492 on a 1500 link won't break your internet. It'll just be slightly slower in ways you'll never isolate to the MTU setting. So, the myth survives.
Until some donkey reads an RFC and ruins everyone's comfortable assumptions.
That's what I'm here for, so let's bust some myths. First one, lower MTU is safer.
I've heard this. Just set it to 1400 and stop worrying.
It sounds reasonable, and it's completely backwards. Lower MTU increases per packet overhead. Every packet has headers. Ethernet, IP, TCP, a fixed cost, regardless of payload size. If you drop your MTU from 1500 to 1400, you're sending more packets to move the same data, which means more total header bytes, more processing on your router, and lower effective throughput.
You're paying the header tax more often.
Here's the less obvious part. Lower MTU can actually cause more fragmentation, not less. If your local MTU is 1400, but some intermediate link has an MTU of 1450, your router thinks everything's fine. But a router further down the path might be fragmenting those packets, and if ICMP is blocked, you get the same black hole problems at a different layer. The goal is always the highest MTU the entire path supports, not the lowest common denominator you can guess at.
Set it low and forget it. Is paying a performance tax for no safety benefit.
Misconception number two. I'll just set the exact same MTU on every device and the problem is solved.
I have tried this. Felt very responsible.
It doesn't fix the real problem because the real mechanism isn't local MTU matching. It's path MTU discovery, PMTU'd.
Break that down.
Path MTU discovery lets two endpoints dynamically figure out the largest packet that can traverse the entire path without fragmentation. It exploits a flag in the IP header called the don't fragment bit. When a packet has DF set, no router along the path is allowed to fragment it. If a router encounters a packet too big for the next link with DF set, it drops the packet and sends back ICMP type 3, code 4. Fragmentation needed and don't fragment was set.
The router says, I can't forward this and I'm not allowed to chop it up. Here's your rejection notice.
That rejection notice includes the MTU of the next hop link. The sending host receives it, says, okay, let me try a smaller packet, and resends. This happens transparently. TCP connections just work, adapting to whatever the path supports.
This depends on that ICMP message getting back to the sender.
That's where it falls apart. Many consumer routers and even some ISP edge equipment block ICMP entirely. Some administrator decided ICMP is a security risk and blocked all of it. When that happens, the fragmentation needed message never reaches the sender. The sender keeps retransmitting the oversized packet. The router keeps dropping it silently. The connection just hangs.
The black hole router problem.
Matching MTU on every device in your house does nothing to fix this, because the black hole is somewhere out on the internet, beyond your control. Your router sends correctly sized packets for your local link, but the path between some intermediate router and the destination has a lower MTU, and the ICMP response is blocked.
If some random router between me and a server blocks ICMP, PMTU-D breaks, and I get pages that partially load, SSR each, that freezes on large output.
That's exactly the failure mode. It's one of the most underdiagnosed networking problems out there. People blame their VP on, their D on S, their browser. They never suspect PMTU-D black holes.
If PMTU-D is broken and ICMP is blocked somewhere I can't control, am I just screwed?
There's a workaround called MSS clamping. But first, misconception number 3, jumbo frames.
9000 MTU. I've wondered if I should crank it up.
You should not. Jumbo frames are a LAN-side optimization for high-throughput local transfers, like moving files between ANAS and a desktop over a 10 gigabit switch. They only work when every device on the Layer 2 segment supports them.
The internet definitely does not.
Consumer ISPs will fragment or drop jumbo frames at their edge. If you set your WAN interface to 9000, your router sends a 9000 byte packet toward your ISP, and their equipment either fragments it into 6 or 7 smaller packets, defeating the purpose, or just drops it. Your internet gets worse, not better.
Jumbo frames are completely useless for anything that leaves the house.
Laptop to ANAS over your local switch? Laptop to a server in Amsterdam? The jumbo frame never makes it past your ONT.
Misconception number 4. MTU and MSS are the same thing.
They're related but operate at different layers. MTU is the maximum IP packet at layer 3. MSS, maximum segment size, is the maximum TCP payload at layer 4. For a standard 1500 byte MTU, MSS is typically 1460. That's 1500 minus 20 bytes for the IP header and 20 for TCP.
MTU is the whole envelope. MSS is just the letter inside.
Here's why the distinction matters. MSS clamping works at the TCP layer. When your router sees a TCP SYN packet leaving your network, it can rewrite the MSS option to a lower value. If your WAN MTU is 1492, the correct MSS is 1452. By clamping the MSS in the SYN packet, you're telling the remote server, please don't send me TCP segments larger than 1452 bytes. The remote server complies, and your packets never exceed the path MTU, even if PM2D is broken. It sidesteps the whole ICMP black hole problem.
MSS clamping is preemptive obedience. You tell the other end, don't send me anything bigger than this before the conversation starts.
And it's why MSS clamping is such a useful safety net. But let's get practical. How do you actually know if your MTU is wrong? The symptoms are maddeningly inconsistent.
I've had the SSR thing. Connect fine, run ls-la in a big directory, and the session freezes mid-output. I spent 2 hours convinced it was a firewall rule.
Classic PMTU-D failure. The SSH handshake uses small packets. They sail through. Then the server tries to push a 1500 byte packet. It hits a link with a lower MTU, DF is set, the router drops it and sends ICMP type 3 code 4 back. Except some firewall blocks ICMP. The server never gets the message. It waits for an ACK that never comes. Your terminal stares at you.
I'm blaming my SSH config, my keys, my terminal emulator, everything except the actual problem.
The other telltale sign is partial page loads. Images appear, but text doesn't. Or HTML loads, but CSS and JavaScript hang. Small assets fit within the real path MTU, but larger assets trigger the black hole.
VPN tunnels that work for pings but die on file transfers. I've seen that too.
WireGuard's default MTU is 1420, which accounts for its encapsulation overhead. But if your WAN link is PPPoE at 1492, the inner TCP packet inside the tunnel might be 1460, plus WireGuard's overhead, pushing the outer packet above 1492. Now you're back in fragmentation territory.
The symptoms are Pages that half-load. SSR itch that freezes on big output. VPNs that ping but don't transfer. Large upload stalling. And the root cause might be the same thing. A path MTU mismatch with ICMP blocked somewhere.
The fix is empirical. You don't guess.
Walk me through it. I'm at my OPN Sense console.
Open a shell on the OPN Sense box. Run ping space minus m space do space minus s space 1472 space 8.8.8.8.
Break that down. What's 1472?
That's the ICMP payload size. The full packet will be 1472 plus 28 bytes of headers, 20 for IP, 8 for ICMP. Total, 1500 bytes. The minus m do flag sets the don't fragment bit. You're saying send a 1500 byte ping with DF set and tell me if it makes it.
If it works.
Your path supports MTU 1500. Set your WAN MTU to 1500 and move on.
What does a failure look like?
Ping, send MSG, message too long, or the ping hangs with no response. A router along the path couldn't handle 1500 bytes with DF set.
Then I drop the payload by 8 bytes.
Run ping space minus m do space minus s space 1464 space 8.8.8.8. That's 1464 plus 28 equals 1492 total. If that works, your path MTU is 1492. Set your WAN MTU accordingly.
If 1464 still fails?
Keep dropping by 8. 1456 gives 1484. 1448 gives 1476. Eventually, you'll find the number that works. Add 28 to whatever payload size succeeds. That's your real path MTU.
What if I end up at some weird number, like 1484?
Then something exotic is happening. Double NAT, a GRE tunnel, IPsec encapsulation, or a misconfigured intermediate router. 1484 is 1500 minus 16, which could be a VLAN tag plus something else. The number itself is a clue. But the principle is the same. Test, find the ceiling, set it, verify.
What about diagnosing from Windows instead of the router?
Same logic, different flag. Ping space minus F space minus L space 1472 space 8.8.8.8. Minus F sets, don't fragment, minus L specifies payload size. Drop by 8 the same way.
Once I've found my MTU, where do I set it in OPN sense?
Interfaces, WAN, scroll down to MTU. If you're on DHCP, it probably shows 1500 already. If PPPoE, it might show 1492. Change it if your test says otherwise. But there's one more thing you should do regardless. On OPN Sense, if your WAN is PPPoE, MSS clamping is usually applied automatically. For DHCP WAN interfaces, you may need to add it manually under Firewall, Settings, Normalization. Or add a firewall rule on the WAN interface that clamps MSS in TCP SYN packets.
Should I just enable MSS clamping on everything as a safety net?
It's low risk for most home users. The CPU overhead of rewriting the MSS field in SYN packets is negligible on modern hardware. If you're routing 10 gigabit with deep packet inspection and VP on termination, you want proper PM2'd working. For the typical home OPN Sense box on a gigabit fiber connection, clamp it and forget it.
The ideal setup is correct. MTU plus MSS clamping as a backstop.
The MTU handles your side. MSS clamping protects you from every ICMP blocking firewall between you and the servers you're talking to. Belt and suspenders.
Let's run through a real example. Someone on BZEC, FTTH, OPN Sense WAN set to DHCP, MTU 1500. They run the ping test. 1472 works. They're good. But they read some forum post and set MSS clamp to 1452, just in case.
That's actually fine. It's unnecessary, but it won't break anything. The MSS clamp at 1452 is correct for a 1492 link, but they're running 1500. They're telling remote servers to send slightly smaller segments than the link can handle. No harm, just a tiny bit of throughput left on the table, about 0.5%. You'll never notice. But here's the real takeaway. Test, don't guess.
That's the through line. Never blindly set MTU to 1492. First, check your WAN interface type in OPN Sense. If DRHCP, start with 1500. If PPPoE, start with 1492. Then verify with the ping test. It takes 30 seconds.
run ping space minus m, do space minus s space 1472 space 8.8.8.8 from the OPN sense shell. If it works, you're done. If not, drop the payload by 8 until it works, add 28, and set that as your WAN MTU. Write the result down. You'll thank yourself in 2 years when troubleshooting something else.
Step 3. Enable MSS clamping on your WAN interface. OPNSense does this automatically for PPPoE. For DHCP WAN, add it under Firewall, Settings, Normalization. It's your safety net against ICMP black holes you can't control.
Step 4. If you run VPNs, check their interface MTU settings. WireGuard defaults to 1420, which is usually fine. But if you're behind a PPPoE link at 1492, you might need to drop WireGuard to 1412 to keep the outer packet from exceeding the path MTU. Test through the tunnel the same way, ping with DF set to a host on the other side.
The whole method boils down to, look at your WAN type, run one ping command, do the math, set the number, clamp MSS, and, for VPNs, test through the tunnel. That's the checklist.
This works anywhere. Israeli fiber, American cable, European VDSL, a Starlink terminal in the middle of nowhere. The ping test doesn't care about your ISP's marketing materials. It tells you what the network actually supports.
Test, don't guess, and MSS clamp is your friend.
MSS clamping is your friend, but it's a band-aid. Proper MTU configuration is the actual fix. Clamping protects you when PMTUD fails, but you still want PMTUD working correctly on your side. The two work together.
In 5 years, will anyone still be talking about 1492?
Only in history lessons about the PPPoE era. As ISPs move to IPoE and DHCP on fiber, the 8-byte overhead vanishes. But MTU diagnosis as a skill isn't going anywhere.
Because new encapsulation technologies will bring their own overhead.
VXLAN adds 50 bytes of header. GNEV is variable length, but typically even more. If you're running virtualized networking or overlay tunnels, you'll be doing the same ping test, just with different numbers. The 1492 magic number will fade, but the method, test, don't guess, that's permanent.
Then there's IPv6.
IPv6 changes the game entirely. In IPv4, intermediate routers can fragment packets as a fallback. IPv6 eliminates that routers cannot fragment. Fragmentation happens only at the endpoints. So PathMTU discovery isn't optional in IPv6, it's mandatory. And the ICMPv6 packet too big message is the only way a router can tell you this packet won't fit.
Which means if your ISP blocks ICMPv6, you're in real trouble.
You're completely dead in the water. In IPv4, blocking ICMP creates black hole connections that are often survivable because of MSS clamping. In IPv6, blocking ICMPv6 packet too big means any connection trying to send a full 1500-byte packet over a link with a smaller MTU simply never works. No fallback, no clamping workaround, TCP handshake completes, data starts flowing, then silence.
ISPs do block ICMPv6.
Some do, through misguided security policies or negligence. It's a growing concern as IPv6 deployment increases. The good news is major providers are getting better. Google, Cloudflare, and the big CDNs have been loud about ICMPv6 being essential. But the protocol design assumes a well-behaved network, and reality doesn't always cooperate.
The skill of empirical MTU diagnosis, the ping test, the methodical drop by 8, that's going to be more valuable, not less.
The tools will evolve, but the diagnostic mindset won't. You'll be running the same logic, just with IPv6 addresses and ICMPv6 types. The network doesn't lie to you if you know how to ask it the right question.
Here's what I'd tell anyone listening. Tonight, open a shell on your router, run that ping test, and find out what your connection actually supports. Don't copy a number from a forum. Don't assume 1492 because someone on Reddit said so.
If you do, share your results on the My Weird Prompts community forum. I'm genuinely curious what people find, especially on the Israeli fiber providers. We have a theory about what the numbers should be, but real-world data is always more interesting.
Next episode, we're digging into DNS, why your queries are slower than they should be, resolver selection, EDNS, DNS SEC overhead, If you thought MTU was an invisible performance killer, wait until you see what your DNS resolver is doing to you.
That's going to be a fun one. I've already got a stack of RFCs on my desk.
Of course you do. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping this ship pointed vaguely forward. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review. It helps.
I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Korn. Go run that ping test.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact. During the Cold War, Equatorial Guinea's first national oil wrestling tournament was inadvertently seeded by a Turkish petroleum engineer who taught the sport to his local drilling crew, meaning the country's entire Yagli-Giri's tradition descends from a single expat's weekend hobby.
I have so many follow-up questions I know I'll never get answers to.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.